Good morning. We gather this morning, as we do each and every Sunday, to worship our great God and King. And today's a special day for us here at IPC as we meet another milestone in our 260 plus years here. Today we're going to recognize Terry and Emily and the ministry they have had with us for 30 years. And I'll repeat what he has said several times. We have put up with him as much as he's put up with us. So that's a good thing. But if you look, it is not a usual thing for a minister to stay 30 years somewhere. And we're thankful for the ministry that our Lord has raised up here at IPC for these 260 years. And we look forward to its continuance until our Lord comes. As we get started, before Ron comes to pray, I want to recognize some people. Because we have a whole crew of Emily and Terry's family here, so I don't want to miss anyone first. Terry's mom's here, all the way from California, so say hi to her, along with Terry's sisters, Gail and Peggy. And then, of course, I think your mom's here somewhere, Emily. There she is. And then Emily's sisters, Claudia and Ann, are here with their husbands, Tom and Ed, as well. And there are others. Others have come back who were here before, who have gone to plant other churches around the city. We welcome them. I saw the Kleins and others. And there's another couple I want to recognize, because you need to talk to them if you want to really know about Terry before he came to IPC, and that's Jim and Donna Sutton. Jim was the one that put up with Terry as a roommate before he got married to Emily. So that's something special. So if you really want to get to know what Terry was like back then, talk to Jim and to Donna. Also, we want to say thank you to the children. Drew and Caroline are here. Peter and Sally are here. Sam is here. Abby's here. And Ben is here as well. The whole family is here to celebrate with us. And so we're thankful that we can do that this morning. And a couple more things. The fellowship hall is closed this morning, so rain permitting, we're going to have refreshments on the front lawn. So when we're through here this morning, you can go out there. And all the children from ages 4 through 5th grade will be brought from their Sunday school classes to the front lawn. Not the nursery, but everyone 4 years, Sunday school and above, will go to the front lawn. So you need to pick up your children there. And just one other announcement, and we'll make this during the service. There will be no nursery provided during the luncheon. We want everyone to be able to go to the luncheon, so there'll be no nursery during the luncheon. Thanks again for coming. Ron, if you'll pray with us, please.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your loving kindness and your tender mercies that you have shown to this congregation over these past 30 years. And not only that, Lord, but for your faithfulness to this congregation for now 260 odd years. We bless you, we praise you, we magnify your holy name. Who are we, O Lord, and what is our Father's house that we should be privileged to have such continuation of your word given to us? And we pray that this day would be a great day of celebration, not only for your servant, but Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness to us, your provision in all good things in the ministry of your word here. So we bless you, we praise you, we ask, O Lord, that you would make this time a very special time for this congregation, and you would use it in the days to come to encourage and strengthen us as we continue this ministry in the days to come. Hear our prayer, O Lord, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing Holy, 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 and I don't know what the hymn number is. It's 100. 100. Thank you.
Please be seated. I'm going to ask Wendy Sutton to come up. The committee has worked hard. I want to say thank you to Charlie and Amy and to Jeff and Wendy, to Tim and Tricia, who are the committee that put all this together, and a lot of other volunteers that take a long time to list that are helping today. But we have a special treat that they put together for Terry, and she's going to tell us a little about it.
Earlier this year, Amy Martin asked me to serve on a small committee to help plan Terry's 30th anniversary at IPC. I was honored to be asked, and really, who can say no to Amy Martin? We met at Amy's house for dinner, and our first priority, like any good church folk, was deciding what type of food we would serve at this celebration. Food preparation for hundreds of people is not in my wheelhouse, so I was trying to think of other ways to help. In our 14 years at IPC, Jeff and I have been sitting in the same row in the back, surrounded by some of our more seasoned members, specifically Bill and Barbara Austin, and Gilbert and Joanne Donaldson. Each week, we would be blessed with nuggets of IPC history in our conversations with them. Both couples were members before Terry arrived and served on the search committee that brought Terry to IPC. These conversations always piqued my interest in the history of the church, so I thought documenting Terry's call to IPC and his contributions would be an appropriate for this event and for the church archives. So, in March, I sought out the assistance of Tristan Kim, a local SCAD student and videographer, and a frequent visitor to our church. And I started interviewing search committee members and ministers who have worked with Terry over the years. We have hours of video, but have painfully edited it down to only 22 minutes for today's program. The full interviews will be provided to Terry and to the church archives. When Terry came 30 years ago, it was a low point in the church's history. A group of faithful search committee members sacrificed much time and prayed faithfully for a godly man who would stay true to the word of God, and that is what they got. I'm sorry. I hope that this video will mark this moment in our 263-year history for future generations to remind them of the importance of not compromising and to honor a man who has been a true and faithful servant of this church. I hope you enjoy it.
I've been a member of Independent Presbyterian Church for 60 years. When Betty and I first joined the church, we had young couples, several couples from Hunter Army Airfield. The attendance was fairly good. There was young people, and and children in the church. But as time went on, our attendance began to dwane.
The church had, the membership might have been 100 on Sunday morning and 25 to 30 Sunday night.
I remember one Sunday night, while Dr. Spencer was still here, that we had 12 people there for the Sunday night services. And Ms. Garmer said that we really just needed to not have Sunday night services anymore. And tell her what you said, Alton. They can cut it out if they don't want to use it.
And no young singles. We were all, so many were older. And we had to make a change.
Current members that were on the search committee were Gene Ennis, Bill Austin, Alton Brown, and Gilbert Donaldson. When we first met as a committee, we compiled a group of questions that we thought we would like to use as we interviewed the ministers to determine their beliefs of Scripture, and we questioned them about how they felt about our church being an independent Presbyterian church.
We wanted a minister who was biblical, preached the word, and believed what he said.
We interviewed, I don't recall the exact number, but I think we interviewed at least 10 ministers during this process. Terry was brought to our attention by either a relative or a friend of Bill Austin, I don't recall which, that was in Mississippi, told Bill about a minister down in Mississippi by the name of Wilson Benton, thought that we may be interested in him. So we did give him a call, and we invited him up to speak to us, and we liked what we heard. And then within just a few days, I called him and told him we would like to discuss the possibility of a call with him. And he said, well, I've accepted a call in St. Louis. But he said, there's a young man down in Florida that you may want to look at. His name is Terry Johnson. You never know how God's going to work things out. It was kind of like he had a place for Wilson in St. Louis, but Wilson knew who he wanted in Savannah. So that's the way it worked out, fortunately for us. This process went on for almost 2 years before we issued a call to Terry, first recommending him to the session and recommending him to the congregation. And I met Terry at the airport when he first came to Savannah. So I wasn't sure how I was going to recognize him, but I saw this very young gentleman at the airport, and I finally determined that was Terry Johnson. My first thought was, my goodness, I don't know if Independent Presbyterian Church are willing to call someone this young or not.
We never had a real young preacher. Most of the preachers were experienced. You know, they had churches before. He told me the other day that he was as old now as I was when he first came here, and he thought I was pretty old.
One of our committee members' wives, when she first saw Terry, she made a comment, of course not so he could hear, but she made a comment, "We wasting our time, we'll never call this young kid." But that all changed after we heard him preach that Sunday. In fact, the committee was happy with him, and we were excited about him, and even church members said, "We need to call this young man."
Well, the first time I met him was the first time I heard him preach. He was filling in August for our interim pastor when he preached. It was wonderful. I had not heard preaching like this, and I had sat under many ministers who were very good and true to the word. He came second time. People had asked me as I was coming down from the choir loft, "Are you going to call him? Are you going to call him?" I mean, we were all blown away, so to speak. And we hadn't heard this kind of preaching. We had come down after the choir sang, and we had a visitor who sat with us, had come in off the street, and sat with us. She said, just wait till you hear Terry preach. And she is the mother-in-law, Annette Hartley. And sat with us, and that was a delight. Don got on the phone after the voting, after the service, the meeting, and called Terry and reported. And my mother, Joan, and I were in the office too. And our mother said, I would like to speak to Terry. She said, you've got to come. We want you to come. And then I got on the phone and I said, you are the answer to many prayers. And the search committee has prayed each time that we met that you would come. And so I think it's God's will that you come.
Well, it's exciting to see a PCA guy going to this historic church. But I first met Terry when he came to be examined by what was then Central Georgia Presbytery. And the examination, I think, took place at Chapel in the Gardens, Presbyterian Church in Garden City. So I'd never met him before. I heard about him as he was called, because I know Morton Smith, and I think Morton Smith, who was the state clerk at the PCA at that time, had been instrumental in getting Independent in touch with Terry. It was a very thorough examination. And you can tell when somebody really is astute theologically, when they know what they're talking about. They're not in doubt about their answers. They're fairly precise. And the more the examination took place, the more I could see I was going to like that guy.
It was cold and pouring rain. I feared ice on the road, but we had a safe trip to Savannah by 5:30 in time for our Presbytery Commission meeting. At 6:30, the service was held to install Terry Johnson as pastor of the great old Independent Presbyterian Church. I preached on 2 Timothy 4, preach the word.
The first 7 years or so, there were some real challenges for Terry, being a young man trying to do ministry in a downtown church that's well established, but has its traditions and its problems to try to work through.
It was a difficult year for Terry. There had been quite a transition as Terry had become pastor. He'd only been there 6 or 7 years, I guess, when I arrived. And some of the people that had left the congregation were creating problems for him. And really, there was nothing he could have done. So it was fascinating and made quite the impression to see him, how he responded to that in grace and in prayer, just suffering at times without retaliating. So that made quite the impression.
Those first years that Terry was here was a difficult time, I'm sure, for Terry and for Emily. We expected that there would be some opposition, but I think it's human nature that a lot of us resist change.
Well, I remember when his children were born, especially the first one, Drew, and a lot of us congregation went down to look at this baby boy through the window in the nursery, and we were just thrilled for them. And Terry had said all through his early time, I mean, this was maybe a year after they were here, that he wanted 12 children. And he kept saying he wanted 12 children. But so often he would come to preach on Sunday morning with a bad cold that he had caught from one of the babies.
We lived very close to the manse. And so we had a very close association with Emily and Terry. We loved them. We loved, as all the babies were coming, it was a joy to see them and enjoy them.
I don't really have to humanize Terry Johnson. He has a family that does that very well. He's actually an excellent father. His wife and his children are a real tribute to their living Christianity and their piety. The Johnson kids are great. We've been able to know all of them in different periods of life.
I treasure the memory of our times having tea together in your office, praying with your staff, and then those trips to Twin Lakes Fellowship when you were so kind to include me on Mr. Joe's land yacht, and the times of prayer we had, and how you held court at the table there with tea in hand and regaled us with stories of your life at IPC and your thinking, just tremendous times. And I wouldn't be the man I am today were it not for your influence and your friendship. And I thank God for you and Emily.
And Terry told me one time after preaching on a Wednesday noon service at Independent, Claude, you don't have to worry about it being boring. It's the Word of God itself is the illustration. I never forgot that. I can remember exactly where we were standing when he told me that. He would critique my sermons. He critiqued my preparation.
On two different occasions, we ran out of gas. So we were so wrapped up in our conversation that we just didn't even look at the gas, you know, indicator and end up running out of gas. On one occasion, we had a man stop a 16, driving one of those big trucks, 16-wheelers, and pick us up. So two pastors get in the cab of this 16-wheeler, and he drove us to the next exit so we could get some gas.
Terry is very proud of being a graduate of the University of South Carolina. He thinks there's another USC, but as a father of two proud Gamecocks, we know that Terry always wished he had been able to go to school in Columbia.
I mean, when I was in school, we used to marvel that students at USC could even read. And it's still said in Southern California that USC is the university of second choice.
Terry does, believe it or not, have a sense of humor. My wife actually thinks he is one of the funniest men in the world. So all of the seriousness, all of the scowls, all the Dow personality, it's a shtick, according to my wife.
Okay, let me put it in context of what I think Terry is being used most to do. Any writer could have sort of a diffuse influence, and then other writers, it's in a particular direction. And I think Terry's great contribution to the PCA and to evangelical Christianity in general, because he's read in Great Britain and other places, is on preaching and worship. I think the last 10, 15 years of the 20th century and the first 20 of the 21st century, as time goes on, he'll be noted as one of the major figures that helped to keep alive the best aspects of Reform worship. I know Dr. Scotty Old, Dr. Hughes Old, whom he did a PhD under on worship, and Dr. Old, probably the leading, or he is still living, leading scholar on Reform worship, literally in the world. He studied under von Allman of Switzerland, and his knowledge is absolutely unexcelled. And he told me that Terry was one of the most able young men preaching, teaching, and leading worship anywhere in the United States, and Dr. O used to teach at Princeton, so he would know. And I would say that will be his great contribution.
From June of 1993 to June of 1994, I was the pastoral intern under Terry at Independent Presbyterian Church. That was a very formidable and significant year for me in several ways. Not only did I get the opportunity to be introduced to ministry in all of its different facets, preaching, teaching, visiting the elderly, visiting people in the hospital, attending session meetings, but got quite a bit of attention from Terry, who talked to me about all the different facets of ministry. So it really provided a great foundation as I went forward to complete seminary and enter the life of the church as a pastor. And I'm deeply indebted to Independent Presbyterian, and particularly to Terry, for that labor. I often ponder Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says that God gives gifts to the church, and those gifts are people, and particularly pastors and teachers. And that's the way I like to think about Terry. He's been a gift to me and my family. My wife was a product of his ministry. I ended up marrying a daughter of the church. And also to our denomination, the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, and to me. So Terry, the way I look at you is you're a gift that God has given to the church. May God bless you in these 30 years of service.
As I mentioned, I've been in a church member for 60 years. The last 30 years was under Terry's ministry. I've had the pleasure of serving with him on the session. I've seen him, how he's grown from a young man to a mature man and minister.
Well, when you think about a faithful pastor in a church for 30 years, you can't help but be impressed that the Lord has blessed him and he has used the blessings of the Lord very faithfully. To serve for 30 years, you have to be diligent as well as faithful. You have to be hardworking to stay fresh and alert to what's going on in the world around.
In addition to being a wonderful pastor and a supporter of church plants and missions and evangelism, Terry Johnson is also known in our communions and throughout the Reformed world as calling us back to the glories and the beauty of Reformed worship according to Scripture. It's an enormous contribution that will last for generations.
Really, I'd say that Terry really introduced me to the Psalms as something more than just a book in the Bible, but actually songs to be sung as a part of your devotional life, and that should be introduced into the life of the church. What was the Reformed perspective on worship? Most of that, I would say, I learned from Terry directly or by his instigation. He pointed me in the right direction to really read that and think about it carefully. And so I owe him a great debt on that. And I think the PCA has been greatly benefited, and not just the PCA, but many other churches.
Your ministry has had an enormous impact upon the spheres of influence that God has granted to you. You've left a deep mark upon your congregation. I think of Independent Presbyterian Church, and when I think of that church, I think of you, of course, and I think of the joy and gladness and exuberant worship that is deeply rooted in the Reformed Presbyterian tradition. I don't think I ever teach on the doctrine of worship without thinking of you fondly, without quoting your famous remark that in our worship we must read the Bible and preach the Bible and pray the Bible and sing the Bible and watch the Bible in the sacraments. It's a constant theme in my own ministry.
I think his writings on the worship of the church are particularly helpful and meaningful to me. I think in a period such as the last few decades in America, when we've seen so much change in worship, to be reminded of what the Reformers did and why they did it, to see the biblical foundations of that, are really important to strengthen the church in serious worship. And I think he's made a really valuable contribution in that area.
Well, I can't think anything but good is his contribution to the PCA. He is so steady, and he knows the Bible, and he lives by the Bible. Since Terry came, we have grown and keep on growing. And so many babies have been born, and we have been so blessed with his preaching and his ministry and his example and his teaching. And I just think he has been a great influence. And in our church, he and Emily have set wonderful examples to the young people on bringing up the children biblically.
Probably the greatest influence by way of ministry is what I've already expressed to you, Terry, is to say, when you said to me, we preach the word and we pray. I mean, that's been my life. That's been the two things to which I've been committed in my ministry. Terry's own sermons, how he went about it, his demeanor, his delivery, his confidence in the word, not in himself, the plaque, of course, going up the steps to the pulpit, sir, we would see Jesus. And I felt that Terry exemplified that, that he was there to preach the gospel.
When Terry and Emily first came, shortly after they were here, my first granddaughter was born. Terry and Emily showed up at St. Joseph's Hospital where she was born. When the nurse brought her out for us to see her for the first time, She was brought out by a church member, Margie Jones. So I thought that was a nice coincidence. I'm telling this because from the time he got here, Betty and I just became grandparents. For the next 30 years, I have seen Terry and Emily raise a wonderful family. I've seen his children grow up, go through school, and a couple of them are now married, and now Terry is a grandparent. So it's gone somewhat full cycle, I think. So I'm glad I had the privilege to see that happen.
Okay, Terry, if you'll come up here for a second, please. Not for a second, for a couple minutes. We're going to do to you what you have often done to many a person and interview you here for a few minutes. So after seeing that, we'll just... So, no cheating. So, as you reflect back over 30 years, what sticks out?
First of all, Abby this morning said, this is going to be a little awkward for you, isn't it? It's going to be like people singing happy birthday to you all day long. So what was your question?
30 years.
Yeah.
As you reflect back upon those 30 years, beside the Gilbert Donaldson comment when you said the first thing you were going to do was take the pulpit down, and he said, don't unpack. You remember that comment, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, all right. Besides that first blunder, what else would you like to reflect back upon and share with us?
Is this an opportunity to just say what I want to say?
This is your opportunity. Be careful.
The question is, how do I reflect back on these last 30 years? First off, all of that praise is just kind of weird to hear. You know, I'm really, really grateful for it, and it was very, very kind, but... it's just a little awkward. And so I thought 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11 might help me, where the Apostle Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So he has that sense of unworthiness that I think that all of us who are in the ministry, and really all of us who are believers, we have a profound sense of our own unworthiness. And he says, I'm unworthy. I'm the least. I'm unworthy. And then he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. He gives all the credit to God and his grace. He says, I worked harder than any of them. You know, there's the human contribution, which is valid to recognize in our case, in both directions, the congregation, the ministers, the ministry. And then he says, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. You see how carefully nuanced that is. He says it was, you know, I, but it was not I. And so there's that tension. It was I, but it really was not I. I mean, the human agent is there, but the human agent really knows, yeah, it really wasn't me. My contribution would not have amounted to much of anything or anything at all were it not for the grace of God. So that's the awkwardness, I think, that one experiences. On the other hand, if you ignore the I, then you have another problem. I'll tell you this one by the way of a common joke in Scotland. The young Scottish minister stands up to preach his first sermon, preaches his heart out. After the service, he goes to, that's the granddaughter right there. That's Audrey. Go ahead, show them Audrey. She's just a little over a year old. So he preaches his heart out, and afterwards he stands at the front door, and people are greeting him, and this old Scots woman comes up to him and says, he tells him, "That was a wonderful sermon that you preached." And he says, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord, it was the Lord." And she said, "I didn't say it was that good." So you know, what we really are talking about is what God has done, all the good of which he gets the credit, and all the defects of which belong to us. So I want to, this the note of the day is thanksgiving. There's no boasting, and there's no self-congratulation at all, whatever we can say about this last 30 years. It's been a joint project for which all the glory goes to God. All has been by his grace. So I'm going to try to say thanks. Because a lot of I knew nothing about any of this, by the way, about any of these folks being here, and I knew nothing about, it's been very well hidden, remarkably well hidden. So I want to thank Amy and the committee, especially Amy, because I know how hard it is for her to be nice to me. So. And she's had to keep this up for, when did you say you started? January? So it's been 10 months of Amy having to be nice to me. So is Amy in this room? All the better. Let me tell you about Amy. No, I won't go. And then want to thank family and friends for traveling great distances. My sisters, my mom from California, and others that have traveled great distances, family and friends, gone to great trouble to be here, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And then I wanted to say, best as I am able to, Emily said, think of something funny and then you won't stumble. So I either thought I need to think of something funny or something really hateful in order to get through saying. So, but what I wanted to thank Emily above all. I think that she. I'm trying to get in that zone that I have to get into for funerals. You know how difficult they can be. I'm associating Emily with funerals right now, so that's we're not off to a good start. Emily gets, I feel like, gets very little credit, very little recognition, nor does she want any credit or recognition. But I think if we're going to remember the 30 years, I would want to say that, above all, she should be thanked. And here's why. First off, she, above all others, has taken ownership of the ministry of the church. It's the kind of language I use a lot. But somebody who really takes ownership is somebody that really takes responsibility and is emotionally invested in the well-being of this ministry and its success, quote unquote, meant in the best sense. I think above all others, she has done that over the years. One way that that's manifested, she's the number one greeter of all the visitors. And we could probably go up and down the rows here and talk about their first Sunday and how Emily rushed over to greet them and made them feel so welcome and made them, she was able to display such interest in them and their families and who they were related to and where they're from. That's a role not to be underestimated. You know, if you are an usher in this church or just a member, that role of making people feel welcome is that first initial impression. And she, over the years, I think, above all others, has done that. She has suffered more in the ministry. There are ups and downs. There's the ebb and flow. You make progress, and then there are setbacks. Because she cares so much, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to get this said, but bear with me, it's just hard to get it said. And we're running out of time. So, she has suffered more from the setbacks, more than anyone else, by far, me included. And it can be anything, and you know from the life of the church, anything and everything that disappoints. Because she cares so much for the well-being of the ministry of this church, she has suffered over the years. And this is and right up to the present, just suffers when there are setbacks. And I think that I never talk about Emily and try not to talk about the family very much. I just want you to know that she over the years has suffered from the setbacks more than anyone else, and yet she has been, for 30 years, my most important advisor and most important critic. And again, by far, more insight into the people of the church, the program of the church, more insight to what's happening around us, her fingers are on the pulse of the church. Her ear is to the rail. And so has served as my most important advisor by far. It's not even close, by far. And maybe her mother accepted, my most severe critic. tongue in cheek, but the most constructive. You know, I've said about my mother-in-law, I got more unsolicited criticism her first 2 years in this church than I had in the previous 25 years combined. I want you to know that this is a major part of the whole picture, is that Emily has stood by me quietly in terms of the public life of the church as my most important advisor and critic. I'm taking the sermon this morning, so I have a lot more that just to say in reflection of the 30 years, I hope in a properly biblical kind of way, but I'll save most of that for later.
Thank you. We're going to ask Don McLaren to come up and pray for Terry. Then we're going to close with the 23rd Psalm. And then I have a few announcements. But on behalf of this session, the congregation, we do love you and Emily. We love your family. And we're thankful for the ministry you've brought. Don.
Terry, if you bothered and concerned about all these praises and compliments, we're getting it done in one day. Tomorrow's another day. You gotta get back to work.
Back to normal.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks that you have blessed this church for 262 years. Today, as we think about the past 30 years, we are thankful for the ministry of Dr. Johnson, not only here at Independent Presbyterian Church, but other churches as well, as he has ministered to them through his writings and teaching. We are glad he answered the call and you blessed us with a minister with exceptional gifts of preaching and teaching. We are thankful that your word in 2 Timothy, as it states, Terry has boldly preached the word and was ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We give thanks that Terry and Emily persevered through the early years of their ministry. We are thankful for their example of marriage, parents, and family. We ask that you bless them and their family, and may their ministry continue to be fruitful, and may your church grow as they continue to serve in the years ahead. Now, as we are dismissed for the morning worship service, we would ask that you be with our pastor as he brings us the word. And we would ask that you would help us open our hearts and minds that we may receive it as you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen.
quick change in plans. It is raining, so there will be no refreshments on the front lawn, and you need to pick up your children in their regular Sunday school classes, please, and we'll gather back here at 11 o'clock for worship. Thank you for everyone for coming.